Hey friends, it's Scott Hanselman and it is Azure Friday. We're here with Olivier Martin and we're talking about hybrid networking. This is going to be a great two-part series. We're going to kind of dig in to hybrid networking, which is a kind of a complicated topic.
Somewhat complicated. I mean, for networking engineers, it's not that complex. However, they need to understand what it is in Azure, because what it is on-premise and what it is in Azure, there's similarities, but there's also subtleties that you need to understand.
All right, this is all software-based networking. We're creating NICs and routes and locking things down, all in software. For, like you said, for a networking engineer, this is old hat.
Well, they understand, but they need to understand the Azure way.
Okay. And now, while I don't usually like to have slides on the show, you brought a bunch of really nice slides to help us really visualize what's going on.
Yes.
Because it's hard to see this at the command line.
Yeah, it's hard to see. And, you know, I could demo creating certain things like an express route gateway. It takes 45 minutes. So there's things that I've, in another show, where we'll show a little bit more of that. But, yeah, slides, I think, help a lot to visualize how these things work. And actually, the first one is really, so for a customer that wants to connect to Azure, there's different options. And that is kind of the build-up we use to show our customers what these are. And the first is really, if you have a website that you create or, you know, some load-balanced VMs you have in your virtual network, you want your customers to connect to, they will use internet, right? That's kind of the basic thing. It can be for your own users or for your customers. And then you fall into the VPN category.
Okay.
So if you have a, you know what a virtual network is, obviously.
Of course.
So if you have a virtual network and you want people to be able to access it, you would create a VPN gateway. And customers could connect to that VPN gateway using either point-to-site connectivity or site-to-site connectivity. So the difference is essentially you have your laptop, you want to be able to connect to that thing. You can install a client just like a lot of people have on their laptops to connect to work, right?
Right.
So we'd fire up this VPN connection and connect to that virtual network. Would allocate you an IP address on your workstation, and your workstation becomes part of that virtual network.
So speaking simplistically, if I'm an individual, a one-man or one-woman shop, and I have my machine, and I sit in a coffee shop, and I've been doing all of my work over the public internet, I could transform how I do my work and by simply creating a virtual network and a gateway, and now I VPN into my development in Azure.
Absolutely.
And that would make things certainly more secure.
Absolutely more secure.
Towards
because otherwise people could, like developers sometimes could just spin up a VM and SSH or RDP into that VM and then be inside of a virtual network. That's one way of doing it. But the other more scalable way of doing it is a point-to-site VPN where you do exactly what you said.
Okay. So then site-to-site, I imagine that I'm now a small group. I've got four or five engineers, but we don't have a lot of resources. And this is how I imagine it. On the other side of that wall is an infinite data center.
It's pretty infinite,
And I need to put a hole through it, which is going to be my site, the five of us in our little office, and then our infinite number of servers in the cloud. And they're on the same subnet, or at least a subnet that is compatible to mine, and I can access their stuff, but no one else can. It's a secure site to site.
It's exactly this. It's a secure, in networking terms, we say IPsec, which is the IP security protocol.
Right.
And this is what's used between or on a site-to-site connection, where you really have a router on-premise and some virtual stuff in Azure, in that infinite data center, and the secure connectivity brings you there.
Okay.
So that normally is good for either smaller developments or developments where people don't necessarily need service-level agreements or SLA. Because the internet is internet, and sometimes it just could fail.
Oh, that's a good point. So the site-to-site connectivity, it's secure.
Yeah.
But it's on the open. It's like the carpool lane where it's usually perfect, but every once in a while it can get filled up.
It can get filled up, and you can't do a lot about it. I mean, you could have another internet connection.
Yeah.
But if you really need an SLA, what people usually or higher bandwidth.
Okay.
People usually upgrade to ExpressRoute.
Okay, so ExpressRoute. How does that work?
Well, ExpressRoute is as you can see there, it's. And this is why it's not easy to demo this, but just a picture of it is explaining it. So you've got this uncertain internet thing.
Right.
And then you have the customer network and the Microsoft network. And ExpressRoute is the connection between the two that happens at some peering location. So those peering locations, we have them in many places around the world.
Okay.
And this is where your network meets our network.
Okay. So does that mean that, let's say that I'm in South America somewhere, I'm near Sao Paulo, it's open internet until I get to that peering group, which is quite short, and then it's expressed directly into Azure?
No, actually it's very similar. Mm-hmm. So you would have a private connection from your office, which might be somewhere in Brazil, to that Sao Paulo ExpressRoute location over a private connection, and then you hit the Microsoft backbone, And you can ride it. If you have a premium circuit, you will be able to connect to a VNet that lives in our Japan East region, for example.
Okay, so there isn't any public. It is really truly expressed the entire way, from the on-ramp to off-ramp.
It's Express Route is your on-ramp to the private network, to the global backbone of Microsoft. So we have this for the commercial cloud and for the customers who use maybe stuff in workloads in China,
right,
in Germany, or in our US GovCloud. There's other on-ramps specifically for these networks because they're isolated.
Okay, so does that mean that if I'm in the US, I truly have Express all the way to my workloads in China?
Absolutely. No, sorry. Not in the case of those governmental
clouds. Oh, the governmental ones are separate.
Yeah, the governments are separate. So if you have a connection here in Shanghai, you would be able to access the two regions. I believe we have two or three in China. You would be able to access those two or three.
I see. So my bad. These are the national clouds.
Absolutely.
Versus the public clouds.
Yeah, and the public clouds, wherever you hop onto the network, that could be in Amsterdam, in London, Montreal, you can ride our backbone, our global backbone, if you have a premium circuit. And if you have a standard circuit, then you would be in your geopolitical region. So if you connect, I'm from Montreal, so let's say you connect to Montreal, and then you would be able to access North America, all the regions
in
North America.
West, North Central, South Central,
all of them,
whatever.
All of them.
Except
the governmental regions that we have in Iowa and Virginia.
And just to be clear, you say SLA, we have a lot of acronyms at Microsoft. This is a surface level agreement. This is a guarantee.
This is a guarantee on availability. So typically these circuits, as we'll see there, they have, when you have one circuit, it's a construct, it's an object in the portal. And we'll look at it in the next session. But it's a construct that creates essentially two physical paths. So this represents one of the locations, one of the dots on the previous map. So this happens at this location. So for instance, Washington, D.C. So in Washington, we have a bunch of routers there. And the customer or the partner has also routers. And there's two physical connections between the two. So that means that if ever one fails, it will go on to the other one. And we have an SLA of 99.95% of the availability of this as a whole. But certain customers in scenarios where 99.95 is not enough, or maybe they have global users all around the world, will have more than one Express Route circuit, and the second could be used as a backup to the first one.
Okay. And just to be clear, because again, not everyone is a networking engineer.
Absolutely.
We've got DevOps people, we've got developers.
Sure.
When we say edge here, this is not the browser, this is the edge network. is the Microsoft edge.
Yeah, it's the edge of our network.
The edge of our network.
Yeah, it's a networking term.
Okay. And is this a big deal? You said 45 minutes, but there's also business agreements to work with different partners to pay for this?
Yeah, it's there's, depending on the model, and again, this is something I want to look at maybe in two slides. You will have the Azure portion that you're going to pay.
Right.
So you pay, just like you pay for a VM, right?
Sure.
So
sure.
You pay for that Express Route circuit and that SDN thing that configures this. And then you would pay for your partner to connect to your network.
I see. Just like I pay for my cell phone with whatever, you know.
You could pay
telco.
AT&T, you could pay some telco, Equinix, if you decide to host stuff in Equinix's facility.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So when you create these things, when you create an Express Route circuit, the last thing is you need to create the different peerings. So there's the private peering, the public peering, and the Microsoft peering, which connects you to basically different workloads. So you have your virtual networks here.
Right.
You have all kinds of platform services, PaaS, like SQL, Azure, storage, and all these things. This is another peering. And the final one is the Microsoft peering to access services like Microsoft Office. So SharePoint Online, Microsoft Online, and Dynamics. I don't know why the logo is brown there. It's kind of weird, but
no worries. Can you juxtapose the public peer and the private peer? So if I understand, this would be like websites and VMs that are inside of virtual networks that I made.
Yeah.
And these are websites and VMs that I just made
Azure websites.net.
Without specifying a virtual network.
Well, you could have those two peerings work at the same time.
Okay.
And you know, depending on how you configure your routing, you could have something that just jumps from this one to the other one, or it could go through some security gears on your premises, because certain customers like that everything going through the internet, irrespective of where that is, even if this is in the Azure cloud, some customers want to go through their security stamp that they have on premise.
Which was my next question, which is, because this is the magic of software-based networking, as well as hardware to make ExpressRoute happen, I could go and add in like Barracuda or whatever my requirements are for my firewalls.
Absolutely.
And my auditing and whatever my company, whether it be on-premises or whether it be a cloud-based instance of that, however my company wants
yep.
to do it, it's flexible enough to allow
It's super flexible. It's super flexible.
Very cool.
So it's really, you could instantiate firewalls here mm-hmm. to protect the edge there or to protect the internet edge. Because from there, obviously, you can browse the internet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So these are kinds of things that we can do.
Okay. This is a very clear 101 on hybrid networking.
Thank you, Scott.
Are we going to dig in on the next episode?
We sure are.
All right. That's Azure Hybrid Networking 101. Stick with us and check out the next video, which is going to be 201 as we get a little bit more advanced here on Azure Friday.